You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
7 rings. Huge congrats to Tampa Bay. And Max, see the stack of papers right here? These are all firsts. By Tom Brady. Yeah, right. Literally, this is a no. I asked research. Yeah. I'm like, give me all the firsts that Tom Brady has accomplished. And it's a novel. Max, let me ask you this. What do you feel like, in your opinion, is the bigger headline? Is it that Brady's Bucks dominated or that the Chiefs were dominated?
That Brady's Bucks dominated. And the reason I say that is this. This is crazy. Add this to the
I know. I got too many.
Here's the thing. I start to look at historical parallels and, you know, like what's going to be the bigger story, not just now, but going forward. Yeah. Right. And so I think, what does this remind me of? When the greatest show on turf got upset. Remember way back then, we're going back 20 years. Who upset the greatest show on turf? Tom Brady. It's unbelievable.
He's won a Super Bowl in 3 decades.
As a different kind of player.
Yeah.
Back then, he was like, the league wasn't crazy pass happy. Certainly the Patriots weren't. He had to manage the game, be big on third down, let the field goal kicker hit some field goals, let the defense do its job. He's had so many lives in the NFL since then, including the quarterback of the greatest offense ever on that Patriots team that lost to the Giants. And here, so I'm looking for parallels to this. You know what I still remember from that Super Bowl? Not so much who beat the greatest show on turf, but that the greatest show on turf lost. So that would mean that actually the story is the Chiefs losing, except that. The Tom Brady that beat the greatest show on turf was relatively unknown compared to today. The Patriots were underdogs. No one can say, like, I didn't think the Bucs should have been underdogs going into the game, especially the way the Chiefs line played.
You did argue that, yeah.
Yeah, but a Tom Brady-led team that just went on the road and beat all these Hall of Fame quarterbacks that has a great defense and a great offense, no one's sitting here shocked if they dominate. A lot of people, like Molly's, like I told you, never bet against Tom Brady. And I think the enduring story here is going to be when Tom Brady was 43 years old in his first season in Tampa, they dominated the defending Super Bowl champs. That's going to be the takeaway.
Well, on a personal level, before I answer that question directly, one of my takeaways is going to be major, major, major props to Bruce Arians. His assistant defensive line coach is a female. His strength and conditioning coach is a female. Two women on the coaching staff of Bruce Arians, they will get Super Bowl rings. And obviously four of his lead assistants, your offensive coordinator and Byron Leftwich, your defensive coordinator and Todd Bowles, along with an assistant, you know, assistant head coach, along with your special teams coordinator, are all African-American men. And so when we think about what the Rooney Rule was supposed to represent, Bruce Arians has taken that and he's taken it to another level. And that man has my utmost respect and appreciation and gratitude for what he has done and what he has done for minorities in the sport of the National Football League when no one else has come close to doing that. So he deserves a lot of credit. But I would tell you the thing that I walk away from is that the Chiefs were dominated. I understand that you give the Bucks credit where it's due, and they deserve all the credit in the world. And we'll spend weeks apologizing for doubting them. I know I will, you know, starting with Leonard Fournette tomorrow, because I certainly doubted them. I thought they would score over 30, but I didn't think they would hold Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to under double-digit points and no touchdowns.
The defense was phenomenal yesterday.
The defense was phenomenal. Devin White, Shaq Barrett, and the rest of the crew. Antonio Winfield Jr. with the deuces or with the peace sign to Tyreek Hill.
JPP knocking ball down.
The whole bit. I mean, they deserve all, and Dominican Sue, they deserve all the credit in the world. So it's special to see. But I look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes was supposed to be the GOAT. We ain't saying that now. Tyreek Hill, you know, is elite as a receiver. How the hell are you going to stop him? Well, they did it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce, a future Hall of Fame tight end, even though he had 10 receptions for 133 yards. The bottom line is they were as meaningless as it comes when you consider the level of dominance that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense really, really put at their disposal. Eric Bieniemy, for example, will he get a job ever now? I mean, remember, He was in the last year of his contract for the sole express purpose that the Kansas City Chiefs thought he would be a head coach, which is why he was in the final year of his deal. Now they're talking about re-upping him because he didn't get the job. Well, guess what? Not only did you lose the Super Bowl, you got trounced. And not only did you get trounced, you got trounced by another black man in Todd Bowles and his defense. So you know people are going to elevate Todd Bowles, and I'm very happy for Todd Bowles. And you know they're going to elevate him, but it's going to be
at the
expense.
If you're a black coordinator, you better never lose.
It's unfortunate.
I mean, you know,
it's not funny, but I tell you this.
I don't think he's disqualified from head coaching.
No. I'm saying he should not be. He shouldn't be. I'm not trying to
be quiet
at all.
Of course.
I'm just saying he should already had a job.
Right.
But they're going to use this as an excuse to hold Eric Bieniemy down by elevating Todd Bowles. So there you have that. And then, of course, you have Andy Reid, who waited 20 years before finally capturing the Super Bowl championship. And now the very next year, you get trounced. And some people are speculating it was due in part because you were a bit distracted and you heard him talking post-game where he's saying that I didn't have my guys prepared. Well, when is Andy Reid known for not having somebody prepared, particularly when you got 2 weeks off? That has never happened to Andy Reid. He's never been accused of that. But suddenly yesterday, he's being accused of just that. Mm-hmm. So you look at all of those different things and all of those different storylines, and I would tell you the Chiefs being dominated in the fashion that they were is what resonates with me.
I want to say one thing about what you brought up. I'm so glad you did, and it's such an important point about the diversity in the coaching staff. It's not people should not get the wrong idea. It's not diversity for diversity's sake, right? If you close off jobs to only a small percentage of the population, or you exclude large percent chunks of the population based on gender, based on race, whatever, you have a smaller pool of applicants to choose from. When you get rid of that and you look for everyone, you're much more likely to find better people because you have you're looking
larger at pool.
Larger pool.
Yeah.
Larger talent pool. Mm-hmm. Look at the Bucks.
And just to highlight
that. He also has a lot of former players on his staff, too, and I think also, that makes a difference as well.
Absolutely. But just to give out the names, we mentioned Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich. The special teams coordinator is Keith Armstrong. Mm-hmm. The assistant head coach / running game coordinator is Harold Goodwin. They showed up. Everybody showed up. Everybody deserves a lot of praise today.
They deserve their props. I want to wrap with giving a Gronk some props. So him and Brady, I'm giving them all to Brady. They broke Montana and Jerry Rice's record for most touchdowns in the Super Bowl, most touchdowns in a postseason. That happened last
night. Did Gronk end the tight end goat debate?
Oh, my goodness.
If Brady ended the quarterback debate, according to you.
We can't do that today. We need to do that tomorrow. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Last night was pretty fun, but not for Patrick Mahomes. He just couldn't get it going for the Chiefs yesterday during Tom Brady's beatdown of Kansas City. Vegas is predicting Kansas City will get revenge next year, though, leading next year's Super Bowl odds at 11-2. Tampa Tom with 11-1 behind Green Bay. Stephen A., do you think we're more or less likely to see a Brady versus Mahomes rematch next year?
I'd say more. And by the way, I think it's Todd Bowles' beatdown of Kansas City more so than Tom Brady, just for the record. But I would say, yeah, I think it's more likely than – I'm not guaranteeing it, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's better than a 50-50 proposition that it'll happen. And the reason I feel that way is because who in the AFC is standing in Kansas City's way? Well, you know, Buffalo is still about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Pittsburgh, don't get me started with them. All right, get a running game before we can talk about Pittsburgh. When we look at some of the other teams that are available, Cleveland's on the come up, yeah. Baltimore can't be summarily dismissed. I understand that. But Kansas City's still that team.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's still that team. Then we look in the NFC.
That's tougher.
That's tougher, no doubt. But Matt LaFleur, I mean, I'm not sold on Green Bay, even though that's why I was foolish. Because remember, all season long, I picked Tampa Bay to go to the Super Bowl, and I jumped off because of that bad man. Yeah. Little did I know that Mr. LaFleur would take the ball out of his hands, you know, on a fourth and goal and whatever, and ask a defense to prevent Tom Brady from getting a first down, okay? Because you got three timeouts and a two-minute warning available to you, all right? Then we look in the NFC. I don't expect Drew Brees to be there.
Yeah.
All right, so New Orleans is going to be altered to some degree.
Although maybe better, depending on who is there.
Yeah, but Seattle, you know, they're good.
What about
they're
the Rams?
There. The Rams are.
Stafford might do something.
Now, he might.
Right?
He might, because the defense is big time, and he might.
Honestly.
But he might not. Yeah. Listen, if you ain't never won a playoff game in your career.
But he wasn't in a position to succeed in Detroit.
Yeah, I understand, and I understand your love for Detroit. I get it. But the flip side to it, Molly, is that, damn, you've been around a while. Not one playoff win?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand why you ain't win the Super Bowl. Not one playoff win? I mean, you can fall into that. I'm just saying. I got to look at that, too.
Would Tom Brady have won a playoff game in Detroit?
I know.
So for me, the way I look at it is just that I'm like, listen, I give them better than a 50-50 chance now that they've learned how to win.
Mm-hmm.
To be the favorites. And if Tom Brady and everybody comes back, of course, we're making that assumption. If that happens, I would say it's better than 50-50 proposition that we got a rematch.
I think it's less, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I learned a lesson that I should have already known. Remember I said I took Kansas City against the field, not mm-hmm. as the odds-on favorite, but just purely as the favorite mm-hmm. all year. But the problem in the NFL is you can say that before the season. I don't know the health of the offensive line come Super Bowl time.
Of course.
You know, like two guys, I thought they should have been underdogs.
And it had a major impact.
Of course, and so you don't know. And I would say very few teams ever get back to the Super Bowl and back-to-back. That's hard to do. We need two teams to do it. Stephen A., instead of going through all the iterations or all the teams that you just mentioned, let me just say, if the Ravens get some dynamic playmakers on that offense, I wouldn't say Lamar couldn't get there. Maybe they're very, very tough to beat if that's the case. And one big thing I think you overlook, Stephen A., what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? Where is he going to land?
Great point.
Because if Deshaun winds up on Miami, mm-hmm. the way they were playing, and all of a sudden it's the Miami Dolphins with Deshaun Watson, I think very differently about things. If Buffalo, if the Chiefs are in a similar mm-hmm. situation on the mm-hmm. O-line, which they mm-hmm. have to rebuild a little bit right now, and they run into Buffalo and Josh mm-hmm. Allen and Stephon Diggs, maybe a different situation. I think there's a good enough chance that these two meet again in the Super Bowl with Brady and Mahomes in the next couple of years that I'm hopeful that we'll see it. But I would handicapping it, I give it next year a 10 or 20%
chance. All I'm trying to say to you is you gave me a whole bunch of ifs. We don't know where Deshaun Watson is going to end up. We don't know whether Baltimore's going to get Lamar Jackson those weapons. So when I look at it from that perspective, come back and talk to me when they do it.
Yeah.
As presently constructed, mm-hmm. I would say these two teams that were in the Super Bowl, it's a better than 50-50.
I'll give you one more. Green Bay drafted a backup or a successor in the first round last year.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't doing that this year. We should expect the Green Bay Packers team that keeps getting better to give Aaron Rodgers weapons.
Why should we expect that?
What are they going to do with the draft pick?
He's been there since 2005. They haven't done Tampa.
What are they going to do with the draft pick?
He's been there since 2005.
If I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm Russell Wilson, I saw him. Congrats on Walter Payton Man of the Year award. He was with his beautiful wife, Sierra. I would have loved to see him in the Super Bowl next year. Aaron Rodgers. They need to get on the phone like Tom Brady and get some talent to come play with
them. You're right.
So they,
by the way, that adds
so they have a shot to compete. Both of them. Rodgers.
Hold it. You're wrong.
Why?
I don't think you can say that about Seattle. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett.
No, he needs help. They need help on defense.
Yeah.
That defense has got to get better.
You went out and got Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
All right. Who did you get?
The defense is good enough.
They have Bobby Wagner still.
You have Bobby Wagner still. Who's the kid that they got Dunbar? They picked him up as well.
Listen,
I'm saying
they made. Yeah. They made moves.
No, but Molly's point to me is a good one. Brady's his greatness. Part of it is leadership. Part of it is acting as a magnet for talent, the way LeBron does. I agree with you. Those guys
Play
should
GM.
Be working it. You're right.
Right? Be thirsty. Look how it happened for Tom Brady.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is
is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. You are the man. You are the GOAT. Chiefs fans are going to hate me right now. My hands are just permanently fixed like this. Seven rings, Ryan Clark. Seven rings. I love the get up. I will get to you in just a second. By the way, you were hilarious this morning when you were like, we got to just stop fighting it. We just need to stop fighting it. This is what it is. It's the deal. But let's see how Stephen A. feels about it. Stephen A., were you shocked by the Bucks beatdown?
I was stunned.
Yeah.
I really, really was. I was not stunned at all that the Bucks scored over 30. I was shocked that the Chiefs' offense was limited to just three field goals, not a single touchdown, and just 9 points over 60 minutes. That level of dominance, I don't think anybody expected. And I give major props to RC because RC was talking about how the MVP of this game could easily be the other TB, not Tom Brady, but Todd Bowles. Mm. And he was right on the money. But he didn't say in that level of expertise that he dropped on us last week, he didn't sit up there and say they wasn't going to score a single touchdown, that they were going to be so utterly dominated that we're sitting here scratching our heads as to what the hell happened, even though we saw what happened with our own two eyes. And I think that when you look at it from that perspective, listen, you can have problems that, you know, Fish is going, Schwartz is going, your right tackle, your left tackle. I get all of that. I understand that. Patrick Mahomes, you know, one step drop, and the next thing you know, they're all over him, and he's running for his life. I think Dan Orlovsky highlighted this morning how Patrick Mahomes ran for over 450 yards yesterday scrambling. Literally scrambling. Running for his life. It accumulated over 450 yards. I understand that. But I saw Tyreek Hill drop a touchdown pass. I saw Travis Kelce drop a pass on a third down that could have been a first down. I saw Mecole Hardman literally disappear. I mean, there should still be an APB out for him. We still can't find him. Mecole Hardman, he was nowhere to be found. Pringle, I forgot he was on the damn team until I saw him on special teams. I mean, I'm just looking at it, and I'm just completely and utterly stunned with how impotent the Kansas City Chiefs offense was yesterday. I did not see that coming, and that is where the shock lies, more so than the outcome of who won. I'm shocked at how ridiculously ineffective their offense was. Mm-hmm.
I can't say I was shocked. Honestly, I thought the Chiefs should have been underdogs, but that Patrick Mahomes would be Superman and would make up for it and come from behind to win, as he normally does in the playoffs. All last season, double digits down, but it was different because, Stephen A., you pointed it out, he was missing three-fifths of his offensive line, two of them Pro Bowl caliber tackles. And as a result, Todd Bowles got pressure more than at any point in Super Bowl history last night. He was pressured on over 50% of his dropbacks, Patrick Mahomes. And they blitzed in under 10% of his dropbacks. You know what that means? Not only is he almost always running for his life, but no one's open because they only have to send four. It was a mismatch on the line of scrimmage. Actually, both sides of the ball. Tom Brady had all day. And by the way, the Bucs offensive line, top five all year. They were healthy and they were playing really, really well. So I can't say I was shocked. Even by the score, like, this is not to make excuses for the Chiefs. I thought some questionable calls went against them. I don't think it would have made a difference in the end in terms of the outcome of the game, who wins and loses. But the lopsided nature of the score, I remember exactly 20 years ago, the Giants and the Ravens, the great defensive teams, especially Baltimore. And at one point, Jesse Armstead, the Giants linebacker, has an interception, runs it 43 yards for a score, gets called back. And the momentum of the game was never the same. Giants got blown out worse 34-7. This was 31-9. But it was the same kind of game. It's not that those calls would have changed the outcome, but I think it changes the lopsided nature of the game. And then when you consider Mahomes was Superman, in spite of everything I just said, running for his life, guys, he hit two receivers in the end zone, in the face with the football. One of them was Tyreek Hill, got hit in the face. And it was after he was on the run. You just saw the highlights. One time, he's parallel to the ground. Honestly, when I think of the greatest throws I've ever seen, that's going to come to mind as among the most incredible plays I've ever seen. Also, hit the receiver in the end zone in the face. Now, do I think they win the game if those things happen? No, but I think when you are in a game like that, when you are overmatched on the line of scrimmage, when some calls, including one on an interception that are kind of ticky-tack, go against you, another PI goes against you, and it's kind of ticky-tack, you also can't have receivers dropping balls in the end zone, but that's what happened, and so you had a lopsided score. I can't say I'm shocked.
Max, you have to be shocked, though, because to say all of that, what you just said, right, to say that they drop balls that they normally catch, that Patrick Mahomes was Superman like you expected him to be, to say that they got some bad calls, these are all things that are unexpected. These are all things that you can't count on, and these were the things that went into the score. Yeah, like when we come into this game, we knew, and I said it last week, I thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had the better roster. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs were the top-heavy team. And that top-heaviness included Patrick Mahomes. And because of that, that's why I picked the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would play defense better. I thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would run and play action them offensively. But I said, in the end, Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way to win this game. Which meant, even if they lose, that it was a fight. That it was close. This is the easiest Super Bowl championship Tom Brady's ever had. Tom Brady barely had to play in the second half because Patrick Mahomes was running for his life. Tom Brady spoke this morning and he was kind of talking about being clean and having a clean pocket and how when that happens, things are relatively easy for him. He was basically saying, look, when I'm clean, can't none of y'all fool with me. He said, but then when I look out on the field and I see the other guy running for his life, I see the other guy having to move before he even gets the ball, then I know that that dude's having a bad day. Basically, you know what he was saying? I'm glad I wasn't Patrick Mahomes last night, because what we saw is something that no quarterback in this league could have overcome. I think there are two quarterbacks in the world that play football right now that could be under the pressure that Patrick Mahomes was under last night and make it look even as good as he did. That's Patrick Mahomes and that's Deshaun Watson. Nobody else in the world could have got out of some of those situations, made some of those throws that the Kansas City Chiefs in turn dropped the football
Rodgers.
On. Not the way he was maneuvering in the pocket. Not the way that he was running around. We saw Aaron Rodgers under this type of pressure from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 6. He didn't do this, right? He didn't make these plays. He didn't give his team these opportunities. And so when I looked at that game last night, the way that Todd Bowles adjusted. See, last night doesn't happen if week 12 doesn't happen. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't line Carlton Davis up from across Tyreek Hill and say, you know what? That didn't work. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't sit one safety in the middle of the field and say, you know what, that didn't work. They absolutely changed everything they were week 12, everything they were through 3 weeks of the playoffs defensively. And what they did offensively was what we saw them adjust to the last three quarters against the Kansas City Chiefs the first time. This was the perfect opponent, the perfect time, with the perfect pieces missing for the Kansas City Chiefs. The only reason we gave them a chance was Patrick Mahomes. You know why? We have never seen him come up short. For the first time, I felt like Patrick Mahomes was looking down at Andy Reid this way. And because he was a little dazed, because he was a little confused, he was probably seeing Cliff Kingsbury. Because the last time that he's looked this inefficient, the last time he's looked this dumbfounded, he was at Texas Tech and he was a freshman. This was a magical performance by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Byron Leftwich, by Todd Bowles, and by Bruce Arians.
I'm not trying to do revisionist history. I'm not trying to do revisionist history here, but the fact is the Chiefs throughout this whole dominant run have been a sloppy team. They have given up huge early, like they've found themselves in huge early deficits. All last play, listen, they beat Tom Brady on the Patriots, if not for a pre-snap penalty. He threw an interception, game over. Pre-snap penalty on the defense. Mahomes never touches the ball. That's sloppy. especially in under those circumstances. All last year in the playoffs, they're down double digits. That's sloppy. They had to come back from it. And in this game, they played a sloppy game. The difference is Mahomes' talent and Tyreek Hill and obviously Andy Reid's coaching and, of course, Travis Kelce, that has been able to overcome. But when you play sloppy and you're off, you have a mismatch at the line of scrimmage. Really, both sides of the ball. It's a mismatch. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Well, first of all, you knew that when you picked Kansas City to win this game, Max. You focused on those things to fix this game. Now, I know you like to hedge your bets. You just ain't getting away with it this morning. This is what you do best. I mean, you're gifted. I mean, my God, nobody hedges their bets better than you.
But having said
all of that, it's like this. The Kansas City Chiefs did have 11 penalties for 120 yards. Seven or eight of them came in the first half. For 80 yards. So the sloppiness that you alluded to definitely is typified there. Remember, Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, he had an interception, but that was brought back because of a holding penalty.
Can we talk about that holding penalty too?
Yeah, we can talk about it, but in the end, again, the beatdown is the beatdown. There was a holding penalty. There was a neutral zone infraction on the made field goal, and Tom Brady comes back because it gives him a first down. On the very next play, he hits Gronk for the 17-yard touchdown pass. Again, we're talking about things about the Kansas City Chiefs that we knew going into the game.
Yes.
But folks still picked them. And they picked them because of Patrick Mahomes. So why is it that it's good enough to pick Patrick Mahomes to beat them knowing, you know, the deficiencies that he had going into the game, but then we don't get to highlight how they were exposed once the game happened?
I'll tell you why. It was a perfect storm, guys. It's one we acknowledged it's a mismatch at the line of scrimmage. It's a mismatch at the line of scrimmage. But Mahomes will somehow overcome. But if you have that mismatch and the defense is playing lights out with a great game plan and receivers are dropping passes, including Kelce on third down, including two guys, including Tyreek Hill, in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And the refs are calling, and you're playing
and
sloppy.
Ifs and buts.
That's right.
So you expected that, though, okay. Max?
No.
So, Max, you expected that.
It's not about expecting. And the refs are giving ticky-tack fouls. The point is, it's the perfect storm that results in the score. But to say we're shocked that the Bucs dominated – the line of scrimmage was a mismatch.
It just amazes me how the person that, dances as much as you on this show gets to do most of the talking when it comes to this stuff. It's amazing to me.
Honestly.
This is the guy, you're the guy that says all of this stuff. And then we say, yo, Max, you did say this.
Honestly, in fairness, we should be playing my soundbite again right now.
You said my
man. You thought the Chiefs were going to score 27 points.
I picked 31. I picked him as the MVP, and I picked Brady to win. So we should probably play my soundbite.
Then there would be no debate on a new show. Yes,
thank
but
you,
on a debate show, no, because
thank
there's nothing
you.
To debate.
You were right, Molly.
You were right. We were wrong. But then
thank
a debate.
You.
We were. See how quick that is?
I just needed to hear that again.
But in the end, what I'm talking about is this. You have to look at what Patrick Mahomes could not do, what Patrick Mahomes could not pull off. And that's really what this comes down to.
Yeah.
You knew what those obstacles were coming into the game. And that defense was all over him. It was all over them. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, Tyreek Hill did not show up. Mecole Hardman did not show up. That's a big deal.
Guys, if it's third down and you hit your receiver in the face with the ball in the end zone, or you hit your tight end for first down, and they drop it, there's nothing the quarterback
can do.
When it's a miracle that he even got the throw off.
But the other thing is this, though. You don't expect that from those guys, too. If you're not shocked that Travis Kelce drops that ball on third down, then you're lying to yourself, Max.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I would say
this. Stop fighting it, Max.
I would say this. Right. Travis Kelce, I expect to catch that ball. The other two in the end zone were more difficult catches. I still expect Tyreek Hill to come down with it. I would say this. The 31-9 score is like, whoa, that is shocking.
Yeah.
Not even one touchdown scored. But the idea that Tampa would have a dominant victory by a wide margin, I can't say I was shocked. It was a mismatch at the line of scrimmage.
So you were shocked? You would be shocked by you would not be shocked by the fact that they had a dominant victory, but you're shocked by a 31-9 score?
What I'm saying is,
isn't that a dominant victory? How can you be shocked but not shocked?
Because you figured they'd score a touchdown.
This is getting embarrassing.
The point is that I expected them to have to come back from a big deficit and Mahomes would engineer a victory.
Exactly.
That he didn't engineer the victory, I can't say is shocking because he did everything in his power to do it. It just didn't come together.
It says by the beat down.
Wait, let me say, everybody's going to remember the Super Bowl that Brady beat Mahomes, and Max is going to remember that parallel throw by Patrick Mahomes.
That's what he's going to take away.
All right, RC, I'm coming to you on this because you didn't get to talk that much. Tom Brady adding to his ring count yesterday only extends the lead over the all-time Super Bowl quarterbacks. He now has more Super Bowl MVPs than Joe Montana. Terry Bradshaw have rings. He has more Super Bowl rings than any franchise. Forget players. So tell me this. Did Brady prove he's the greatest of all time in team sports, Ryan?
Ooh, that's a tough question because I'm a Michael Jordan guy, but I believe he has. And I believe he has because the difficulty of winning this championship, to be more involved in a championship at 43 than you were at 24, to actually put this team together. Let's think about this team and what we said they were going to be coming into the season. We thought no risk it, no biscuit. We thought we'd see Chris Godwin, we'd see Mike Evans have these ultimate all-pro Pro Bowl years that he would push the ball down the field at an enormous rate and that he wouldn't turn the ball over. That's what we expected. But think about how this team won the game. The three people that score touchdowns for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't Tampa Bay Buccaneers before Tom Brady is there. One of those guys, AB, definitely doesn't come if Tom Brady isn't there because Bruce Arians didn't want him. Tom Brady believed in him. Rob Gronkowski is only there because he came out of retirement to play with Tom Brady now that he was no longer in New England. And Leonard Fournette, who I trained with throughout the offseason, went there because Tom Brady was the quarterback. So not only is he a great player, not only is he the greatest player of all time, the greatest winner of all time, this year he became the greatest GM all time. And then also Bruce Arians said, you know what? In New England, they wouldn't let Tom coach. Sometimes I just sit back and allow him to coach. So let's think about what this team was last night. This team was a run play action team. You know who that fit? That fit Tom Brady. That fit what Tom Brady could do. That meshed well with what Tom Brady could work with his weapons. And now we see the result. We see the result of a team morphing into something it had to be in order to let Tom Brady and the team play at its highest level. We used to give Josh McDaniels so much credit for what they could do in New England week to week offensively, but we're not going to give Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich that same credit that they've changed 100% or done a total 180 from who they not only who they were last year, but who they were at the beginning of the season. You're not going to give Tom Brady credit for understanding that, you know what? We got to move differently. And in order to move differently, I have to change some things. I have to mesh with Byron Leftwich in a way that we say, if we get here, we can win a championship. And the last thing is this. Tom Brady texted all the players on Tampa Bay's team around 11 o'clock every night saying, we will win. That's leadership. That's belief. That's taking the team that hasn't been to the playoff in 13 years and beating Drew Brees in New Orleans, beating Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau, and then playing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl and dominating. Tom Brady proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it wasn't all about Bill Belichick, that it wasn't all about the Patriot way, that me, Tom Brady, I had a ton to do with the success in New England, and I'll show you how. I'll go to a new place. I won't have an offseason. I'll change the team. I'll change the roster, and I'll change their fortunes. Tom Brady is the greatest player in team sports.
Well, I could put it more succinctly than that, Ryan Clark. Tom Brady's a better GM than Bill Belichick. You can actually make that argument today.
Yeah.
You can make that argument today. He's a better general. In 1 year, he proved he's a better GM than Bill Belichick because while Bill Belichick is looking for weapons, Tom Brady was highlighting we didn't have any and it was making me look bad and you wanted me gone and you wanted to keep Jimmy G, you know, when he was Jimmy Garoppolo. You let go of Jacoby Brissett. You brought in Cam Newton. You thought that all of these things would be answers. You got N'Keal Harry instead of DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown. You got Sony Michel, who's nothing to sneeze at, instead of Damian Harris. You're looking at an abundance of things. But I also will point to last night's Super Bowl and say this. If I told you coming into the game that Mike Evans would have one catch for 31 yards and Chris Godwin, excuse me, would have two receptions for 9 yards, are you picking Tampa Bay to win this game? No way in hell.
They got killed.
And so not only did he win the game, but he won the game with Gronkowski shining. Gronkowski, a guy who literally was talking and had tears coming in his eyes and was shivering on a stage one day talking about, you have no idea what I've been through. And physically, emotionally, he didn't have it. Now, not only does he come back and play, stars in the Super Bowl, wins it after only having two receptions in the entire postseason, wins it
but also is excited about coming back to play next year. He went from being finished to being a champion and excited about literally, because he could retire too now.
I know, but
he said, no, I'm not
going to
retire. Okay, Antonio Brown, has anybody, you're a former teammate of this man. We know Antonio Brown's history. We get it. Has anyone ever saw him as humbled as he was yesterday in expressing his gratitude to Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that for a second. Antonio Brown. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Law enforcement officials sitting there calling him out and videoing. You know what I'm saying? Acting up, acting a fool on social media and all of this other stuff. You know, it throws away. He can. All you have to do is shut up. How many days, man?
By the way, Brady.
4 days. Hold on. 4 days. Shut up and you're on your pocket $29 million. Just shut up for 4 days. He couldn't do it. And he goes from that to being a champion with his head down, holding back tears because of how grateful he is to Tom Brady. And we sit around all the time when we talk about the NFL and we talk about the importance of leadership. And one of the greatest champions this sport has ever known, and Bill Belichick, ignored the champion and leader that he had in the end in Tom Brady. I mean, that's a story, man.
Look, and
that's
Brady, a story. Brady didn't hold it against him that like he could have been mad at Brown, Antonio Brown, for embarrassing him in a sense in New England. Yeah. All right, let me just say this. Brady's on a very short list. And let me just go through it quickly because we say he's the greatest in team sports history. No one ever talks about this in baseball. Yogi Berra was the catcher on the Yankees, won 10 World Series, caught the pitching staff. Every pitcher that came to the Yankees got better because Berra was calling the games. He won 3 MVPs and hit cleanup on those teams, all right? Yogi Berra is forgotten about, but he's certainly on a very short list of the greatest winners. Bill Russell, in his lifetime, amateur and professional, in deciding games was 21-0. So he won all those championships 21-0. When it comes to a deciding game, a game 7, the two teams are evenly matched. Who has the best player on the floor? Isn't Wilt Chamberlain? Okay, but Bill Russell will give you 30 points and 40 boards. He's on a very short list. Obviously, LeBron, excuse me, Kareem, 3 championships in college, 6 in the pros. Like, you know, and clearly Brady is on that list now. But to me, guys, if you really want to talk about it, it may be boring, but the GOAT in team sports is still Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, whenever he was given a chance, whenever he was on a team with at least one other All-Star, basically, he won the championship in under 7 games. Except for Scottie Pippen's first year as an All-Star, where he was still pre-prime, but he'd made an All-Star game, had a migraine in a Game 7. So once again, Jordan was out an All-Star. Pippen scored 2 points in 40 minutes. They lost barely Game 7 to the defending champs. And once when he came back, played 17 games, wasn't in basketball shape. But every time, realistically, Jordan was in a position to win, he won in under 7 games. It was 6-0 with 6 knockouts. And the only thing I'll say about the winner thing, the reason Jordan's brand is what it is, was not only the eyeball test. Oh, my God, we just haven't seen that. But his brand was synonymous with winning. It's the reason his sneakers still outsell LeBron's 5 or 10 to 1. If you did a poll on planet Earth, last shot or last possession of any game, it's coming down to the wire, right? The fate of the universe is on the line. Jordan would win that vote in a landslide. Michael, the answer is still Michael Jordan. Brady is on a short list, but at the top of the list.
Even though
Michael
he has
Jordan.
6 and Brady has 7?
He's a better older athlete than Jordan. He's still great, and Jordan wasn't at 43.
Yeah, so I think the numbers of championships actually don't matter to me. And I agree with a lot of what you said about Michael Jordan. You know, we've had this conversation many a time, Max. It's this championship that changes things for me with Tom Brady. It's not being with Bill Belichick. It's not having an offseason. It's being in a new place that really runs the organization in a different way than you are. It's when your owner gets an opportunity to hold the Lombardi and the first person he thinks is you, right? He said, "Thank you for teaching us the way." And that's what Tom Brady brought to Tampa Bay that they didn't have. And now, Maybe Michael Jordan, if he chooses to go somewhere after that sixth championship in Chicago and he has an opportunity to play that year, I wouldn't have bet money on anyone else to win that championship. But he didn't get an opportunity to do that. He didn't make that decision. And so if we're just talking about the greatest winner in team sports, because the thing that Michael Jordan could do, because there's only five guys, you could affect the game in so many different ways, right? You know, you could control what happens defensively for a large part. You definitely could control what happens when your team has the ball. But for Tom Brady to infect this entire team, right, to affect the entire organization.
If you say greatest leader, I might agree. If we changed it to leader, I might agree, because all your points you're making are really about leadership, and Brady could
leadership
win that argument.
Leadership is about winning as well. And remember this, when Peyton Manning won his second championship in Denver, he was carried to a championship. That was about the no-fly zone. That was about the rush. Tom Brady was one of the best players on this team. Tom Brady was a guy that carried this team through the journey. And so when you look at that type of play, that type of leadership, that type of will, it was truly amazing what he did, and that's why I put him on the top of greatest winners in team sports.
Max, can I ask you this quickly? Do you think Mahomes can still ever become the GOAT?
It's very unlikely because he just lost to Brady head up. But as Stephen A. said, he thinks it's better than 50-50. They meet again next year. And if they do and Mahomes wins and let's say winds up with five Super Bowls, a long way to go, a lot of assumptions.
Yeah, yeah.
If he does, then I think we'll look at it and say they evened that out. And Mahomes really did have a very good excuse in this one with the O-line and everything. And the peak that Mahomes is playing on is just different from everyone else. So I think – while it's a long shot, it's not impossible.
I think Mahomes is going to win at least two more Super Bowls in his career. I don't think he's going to win six. And more importantly, he's not going to be undefeated in Super Bowl appearances because he just lost to Tom Brady. Yeah. That will be the indelible blemish on his resume when you're looking at it.
By the way,
everybody will recall it. And as a result, that will prevent him from being celebrated as the GOAT. He'd be great. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but he won't be that.
RC, there's no Eli Mannings on Jordan's resume. Like, he was outplayed in a couple Super Bowls by the guy on the other side. That happened.
I will say this. Here's the hard thing for Patrick Mahomes. He's lost two playoff games. Both of those games are to Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have reasons for losing them. You have a guy line up off sides. Obviously, you don't have both of your tackles in this game. But when you've won your other six playoff games and the two losses are to Tom Brady, and we're not talking about prime Tom Brady. We're talking about 40-plus Tom Brady. I just think that makes it impossible to catch him or to ever be seen as greater than
him. In Coming to America Part 3, set in the future.
Coming to America Part 2 is coming on
Arsenio
Amazon.
Hall's not
going to
want to hear about the excuses. He knows Tom Brady whooped his you-know-what.
Real quick, we had 26,000 votes. 70% said that Tom Brady is a greater winner than MJ. I was surprised by that. Guys, my biggest takeaways, age is just a number. 40 is the new 30. I need all the TB12 products. We all do. No shade vegetables. And Max, I want to fall off a cliff if it can end like this.
You ain't
lying. So let's just end the show like this. Max, just put your fingers up. Just do it. Just do it for them. Yes.
You gotta
give
it up.
There we go.
You got to give it up.
All right. RC, appreciate you. All right. We'll see y'all tomorrow.